much, operator. Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, good evening, everyone. I hope you're doing fine in this Friday. Thanks for joining today. The idea of the call today is devote part of it to finalize the documents for task one.
Julie, should we do a roll call?
Oh, sorry. I always forget that now. I don't know why. Because you know what confuses me? I am looking at the meeting view, so
right.
I know who's on the call. Thank you very much, Julie. Go ahead.
The roll call. Shall I do a roll call?
Yeah, sure, please.
Yes. I can't do it as well as you, but I'll good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is a meeting of the Constituency and Stakeholder Groups Operations Team. On the call, we have Olga Cavalli, Deborah Hughes, Chuck Gomes, Michael Young. We are in contact Tony Harris and Zahid Jamil, who may join us later. And we have Rafik Damik. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Gisela Gruber-White, and Glenn DeSangery.
And we have apologies from Krista Papek.
Exactly, from Krista. Thank you. Thank you very much, and sorry for missing that. I was telling you that the idea of today's call is finalize the document. I contacted Philip Shepard, the chair of the OOC, yesterday, and they will discuss these documents in their meeting in Brussels. So they are expecting this document. It's already in their agenda. So it's I promise him we will do our best to send it perhaps today, if possible, if not on Monday. We had a pretty good version, but Julie also reviewed it again and changed some details. Perhaps, Julie, you can tell us what you changed in it, and I have a small suggestion. I think Chuck also sent some comments, and Victoria, she sent some comments also. So perhaps we could go through those. Julie, can you tell us what you changed in case that someone could not see that?
Yes. Olga, this is Julie. The changes I made prior to Chuck's changes were very minor. Earlier, I sent some recommendations concerning adding some text to clarify at the beginning of Section 2 that there would be, to clarify that the majority recommendations were supported by the work team members that supported it, and I've listed the work team members who support the majority recommendations, and then reference that a minority recommendation is included on page 9, and that's supported by Victoria and SS, and then I just made a slight change after that, saying the majority recommendations are arranged in the following three sections. And then moving on down through the document, and I apologize, I hear there's a little echo. That might be me. The other change was to add, Victoria had recommended, was to add, to delete the minority recommendation where it appeared at the very end of the document prior to the appendix, and move it to the end of section 2.2.10, basically because that minority recommendation relates to that section. So I added in that the following is a minority recommendation related to sections 2.1 and 2.2, supported by Victoria McEvity and SS, and then put in the text of the minority recommendation without changes. And then she suggested adding a reference to the minority report at Appendix A, and Chuck has suggested making two changes related to that. Well, first of all, to change in the title and add recommended in front of common operating principles, so recommended common operating principles in the title. But then following Section 2.2.10, Chuck suggests the following sentence at the end of the first paragraph in Section 2. Beginning on Section 2, saying a minority recommendation is included on page 9,
which is supported by Victoria McEvity, et cetera, and the full minority report from Victorian SS is included as Appendix A. So actually that was here, if I back up a little bit, not at the end of 2.2.10, but at the beginning of Section 2, and I'm sorry I didn't have a chance last night to make that change before today's meeting. But so then that, wait a minute, now I'm a little confused. So we do have, oh, I see, I think. So at the begin, at Section 2, okay, I see. So what Chuck has suggested is in Section 2, following the sentence that says, a minority recommendation put on page 9, which is supported by Victoria McEvity and SS, then there would be a sentence that would say a full minority report from Victoria and SS is included as Appendix A. So there would be another reference to the minority report in Appendix A right at the beginning of Section 2. Did I get that correctly, Chuck?
Yes, Julie, you did.
Great, thank you, because I've only just had a chance to look through and see how this would all fit today, so I just want to make sure I get it right before I make it.
Julie, could I? Hi, this is Debbie.
Yeah.
I was wondering, could you please add my name to the majority?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For the non-commercial stakeholders group? Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you very much. Any other comments, suggestions to this version of the document?
Well, I can't see it in front of me, unfortunately, because my laptop died this morning. But I just want to make sure my name is in the majority recommendations.
Yeah, it is, Michael, but I'm just looking right to be up.
I have a question about this. Should we include all the group member names other than Victoria NSS in the majority recommendation, unless they're active members of the working group or no? But I don't have the answer. I'm just asking.
Oh, you know, and actually, this is Julie Olga. I wasn't sure about that because we have some work team members who really have not been active on this issue for a long time, and I wasn't sure, you know, for instance, Hector Ariel Mana.
And
Dr. Sharam Sabutipour, I think, was only involved in one of our meetings and has since not been involved at all that I am aware. So
okay.
I include them.
Yeah, you're right. And I was wondering also if, and I don't know if it's used or not in this document as outcome of the working group. Should we in somewhere state all the members of the working group, or that's not necessary?
I don't know. I guess I work team on that.
Well, I mean, maybe what we should do is just add a flag of our list of inactive members. And then you've covered everybody. You're either in the list with the major recommendations, you're in the minority, or you're in the list of inactive members.
Well, right now, the way, Michael, this is Julie, the way it is in the document, and I know you can't see it, is that we say the minority recommendations are supported by, and then we list the supporters, and then the minority recommendations supported by, and we list the supporters. So I'm not quite sure where we list, I mean, unless we said the following members have not been active on this issue or something like that.
I would just put inactive members in the appendix.
Well, that's two people.
Why do we even want to identify by the inactive members? In this particular working team, they have been so inactive that they're, you know, I don't even think there's any reason to call attention to them.
I'm fine with that, Chuck. I mean, the only thing is that their names are on the GCOT website or wiki site, and I thought it might be clear for people outside our group. It would be nice to clarify that those people were inactive, and that's why their names don't show up in any of these documents.
Well, they're they're missing from the list of those who support, and they're not named in the minority report. My personal feeling is that's enough. I'm not strongly opposed to listing them somewhere. I'm kind of with Julie, though. Where do you do that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, Chuck. I'm not trying to push to have them listed. It was just a suggestion.
Yeah, got it. Well, normally that I would support something like that, but in this particular case, I mean, they've had, I mean, very close, I think in one case, zero, well, their name was mentioned in one minority report way back, but other than that, it's been almost zero activity.
So can I flip the discussion sideways into a clarification for a second, if everyone's okay with that?
Yes, just one more comment about who's named in the document. In the minority report, there's a special reference for Rafiq and Rafiq for SS and Victoria as being leaders of Subtask 1 and 2. Should we also include references for other sub leaders who have worked a lot and contributed? Should we do that or no?
It's up to the group.
Well, and I, Olga, they're actually listed as there, but they're also listed as presenting the minority report.
I know. I just want to be sure that the other people that really put a lot of effort and did it, the working teams, are okay, that their names are not included as such.
Is there an easy place to put that in? I mean, it's a good point, Olga, because I think it recognition is due to those who took the lead on those. If it can be smoothly put in somewhere, I'd support that.
This is Julia. I would suggest doing this, having another appendix that has lists all the work team members, indicates those who have been inactive, and lists the work team members for each of the subtasks. I could do an appendix like that, you know, just very briefly. The reason I'm concerned about including the list of the team members in the minority report is it will suggest those are people who are presenting that minority report or supporting it, and I don't think that's accurate. But we could have a separate page that then has the work team members, indicates who's inactive, so that, you know, maybe that would satisfy Michael's concern, and then also indicates the you know, the team leaders and the people who are on the sub-team leaders and the people who are on the sub-team.
I like that approach better than incorporating it in the main document. And just put in parentheses after the two inactive members that they were inactive, and then you could also put in parentheses or some other way next to those who led subtask teams.
I agree. Yeah, I liked also the approach, and I think it's fair that other working team leaders are also named in the document and recognized for their work.
And I assume, Julie, then maybe in the background or someplace like that, you would just make a one-sentence reference to the working game participants and leaders are listed in Appendix B.
Yes, absolutely. That would be easy to do.
Right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Michael, for interrupting you, but this was related with what we were talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. So, Julie, you captured all this details.
Yes, I did all.
Thank you so much. Michael, go ahead, please. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Given Victoria's email, some of you, I assume everyone on the call has read my response to that.
Yes.
Which, frankly, I worded very, very bluntly and very deliberately bluntly. I just want to clarify something that she said was that I did not understand to be accurate. So I want to check this with the group, and Chuck, you in particular should know the answer to this one. My understanding was that in the previous subtasks we submitted, where Victoria and others submitted minority reports, that the OSC had forwarded, the change that the OSC had made in passing it on to the GNSO is that they just moved the minority report to a dependency versus removing it altogether.
Now, I don't think that's exactly accurate. By the way, Michael, I almost responded as well on this one. I think what we did, and I didn't have time to go back and check this morning, but is that we provided a link to the full minority report because there was concern that it was so long it overwhelmed the whole document. And
right. Okay, I remember that.
So
that's what I remember that now.
Yeah. So it was removed from the report itself. But it'd be more accurate to say it was removed, and a link was and reference were provided in the report to it. So
it was clearly stated there was a minority report, and there was a clear link to that material.
Yes,
that's a huge difference in the accusation of it being omitted. Right, which is what Victoria was saying.
I agree.
Yeah, so I stand by what I wrote back to her. I'm not willing to, as a member of this group, I'm not willing to support any wording that goes to the OSC accusing them of inappropriate behavior, certainly before they've even done it. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, Michael. You brought something that I was going to comment. As far as I remember, and Chuck mentioned it very well, in my understanding, the minority report was included in a link, was not suppressed from the document, and I was at the meeting that day, and I remember that. So I think we should say this in our list. I had no time this morning to look for the document, so I couldn't check it by myself, but I remember this. And I also agree with you that we should clarify this and let her know that the document went completely with the minority report, and I don't think that's the intention of the OSC to cutting documents or changing them. So how could we address this? We should send her a note in our email list, or how you suggest we can clarify this.
I think we should just correct the last email she put back to me is where she makes that statement. So I think Olga, either you or Chuck could certainly, and I was at that meeting too now, recall, could clarify exactly what happened and what was passed on, and just put a simple email back, truth-telling.
And this is Julie. I should note, and Michael, you probably, I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but she did respond, Victoria did respond to your email, and that was not, it was not her intent to characterize it in that way.
Right. And I responded to that and thanked her for clarifying that.
Okay.
Regardless of what her intent was, that kind of language has showed up on our list way too often for me to be comfortable. I find it disrespectful and inappropriate.
I agree with you, Michael. I think we have to state this also in the list. So,
do we really need to do anything about this? I mean, we all understand it in the on the list, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. I think the only place where we need to do something is if there's any message from our group that goes to the OSC, as I think Victoria was suggesting. At that point, we would need to deal with this. Is she still pushing for some sort of a message to be sent to the OSC in that regard with our report?
I didn't get that sense, Chuck.
No.
I think it looks like she'll leave it alone at this point, but I do think we should correct her assertion that the minority report, wasn't sent along because it was sent along.
Yeah, now,
we should clarify
who wants to, correct it? I'm willing, but I'm perfectly willing to have one of you do it as well.
I can do that.
Thanks, Olga.
Julie, if you can help me send me links of the documents and background material, because I may not have time to find it, or I may not find them.
This is Julie. I can find the document, I think. I think it's on one of the past, it's probably in the GNSO Council workspace, so I'll look for it there. But I should note that Victoria may still come back with a concern, and that I seem to recall that her concern was that the document was linked as opposed to included in its full text, and she felt that being linked, that it was essentially being omitted. This is obviously not my opinion. I'm simply recalling what she had said previously, so there may still be a little bit more, said on the matter, but I think it's so worthwhile for you to say something, and I'll find that link for you and send it to you.
Okay, if you find it, then I can make a reference and send her the correct information. Any other comments about Task 1 document? Julie, could you
review the changes that I'll make? I've already added Debbie. I'm going to add an additional appendix with a list of the work team members. I'll indicate which were subtask leaders, which are inactive members, and I will make the Chuck's changes. And I don't think there are any other changes that I've. Oh, and I'll add a reference in the background. Sorry, in the background section or the executive summary section that to the work team task leaders. In Appendix B, I don't know of any other changes. Just to be clear, before I, before we move on.
Great. So, Julie, could you send us a new version? Do you have an idea when could you send it to us?
I'm planning on doing it this morning. I have another call at 10, and then I will work on it immediately thereafter. It shouldn't be very long, so I'll have it done. Today, certainly, and I think early in the day. And this will be a clean document as opposed to red line, since I think we're all agreed on the changes. So it should, I think, be a document that you could then forward on to the OSC.
So my proposal is the following. Once Julie sends this document, which would be ready to send to the OSC, we take the weekend for reviewing it. And if I hear no comments, I will take silence as I'm okay with it. And I send it on Monday to Philip. Does it sound a good plan?
I think that sounds very appropriate, and I'm very happy to see the document move forward.
Great. Any other comments?
Sounds good.
Great. Thank you, Chuck. I am the one to send it, or it's Julie? I don't remember which was the procedure with the other document that we sent. It's okay that I send it?
Generally, it's the work team leaders who send the document to the OSC.
Okay, fine. Any other comments about Task 1 document? Great, thank you very much. And thank you for all the effort put in this document. I'm glad that we are almost ready to send it. The OSC is waiting for it. They have it in their agenda, so I think we're moving forward with our work. And now I would like to review where we are at with Task 2 document about outreach. We have a comment sent by Michael, and we have Debbie. So maybe I give the floor to Debbie so she can lead this part of the conversation, and maybe Michael can comment about his suggestion in the list.
Thanks, Olga. One housekeeping matter I just would like to throw out there to the group. Philip Shepherd has asked me for any type of update that I can provide to the OSC that would be included in their meeting agenda for June 19. So I was wondering if there was some sort of update that we were all comfortable providing. Second point would be, he also asked, when do we expect to be complete with this task? And that's something else that I wanted to discuss.
Thank you, Debbie. Just also for letting you know, when I communicated with Philip the day before yesterday that we were sending Task 1 document, I also told him that and this is something that I have discussed with Debbie, not with the rest of you, but just to share you that we had in mind that perhaps a good due date for finishing our task 2 document could be July the 1st, but it was just an idea that we were starting our work and that Debbie was leading it, and we have done a lot of progress and we were doing well, but we still have we're still working, so we don't have exactly an idea when we could be finishing. So I sent him this date as a reference. And I'm glad that you already communicated with him about some comments or outcomes that they may share in their meeting. Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
hello.
I have a lot of noise. And
yeah, I'm trying to put myself on mute when I'm not speaking. I apologize. So I guess the first question is, do we think it makes sense to continue speaking via email to get some substance, or do we think we need another call separate and apart from these? Well, I guess now that the other task is finished, we could devote these meetings to just task two, right? So I'm just wondering what the group needs from me to help move this forward. Because we just need some substance here at this point. And I understand, and Michael, I know you had a lot of really great ideas, but I'm wondering from others.
Let me comment on that, Debbie, and thanks for taking the lead on this one. I would appreciate it if the subgroup would continue working, and if they use these calls to do that, that's fine. But I personally would rather not get heavily involved in this until you guys have a draft document that you want to send to the whole working team. So what I would recommend is that you use these calls, if you like, for the subtask working team, and then as soon as we're ready for total work team to focus on the product that you guys produce, we then bring the full working team back involved. And that's strictly a practical issue for me. I don't in the least minimize the topic. I just am so overwhelmed with other stuff that I'd rather get involved at a point when it's ready for the full working team.
I'm sorry. I was talking with the operator, and I couldn't follow you, Chuck. One thing that I would like to clarify is that we started to use these calls for starting the work with task two because we were having calls every week, and that was my idea, and I found it useful to use not to add another call in the week for the same working team. So this is the reason, but I agree with you that maybe the working team should work and then provide an outcome as a draft outcome to the whole working team.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying, Olga. In other words, and I hope nobody's offended by this, but I will drop off the calls and let the subtask team, you know, develop their work, and then I'll jump back in once you have a document for the full working team to review. I don't know if there's anybody else in that status or not, but for me, and especially leading up to Brussels, where I'm overwhelmed with stuff to do, that will help me a lot.
That's okay, Chuck.
Okay. In fact, if you're going to switch to that task now, and since I have a conflicting call, I'm going to jump off. Is that all right?
That's perfect. Have a good weekend.
And thanks all of you that are working on that subtask. I appreciate that. Okay, have
a
good weekend.
Hey, Chuck, enjoy your long weekend.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
The U.S. holiday on Monday. So
for the work that we have for task two, I know, Michael, you had some ideas that you were noodling. Does it make sense for everybody to maybe focus on a particular area that you have a passion for or more interested in? I'm talking about this topic. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to get feedback from the others on the call. Like, Rafika, I know you have an interest in this as well, so I'm just trying to figure out how we can actually to this document.
You read my mind, Debbie. I was actually going to, on the call today, suggest a couple of things that I'd like to focus on and do a good job on rather than chase a bunch of ideas.
Right.
So
do you want to do this? I mean, since it seems like let's take a look at, I guess, the big picture document, and it seems that there's a couple of areas where we could maybe try to divide up this task into topics, right? I mean, one is, how do we engage the current members of constituencies as they can become more engaged, right? Isn't that one of the takeaways that we got from, I guess, the last couple of calls, is that we're providing recommendations to existing constituencies and groups about increasing participation within their stakeholder group or committee or their interest group, right? And then I guess there's that issue of how then do we help them reach out to get additional members into their constituency or interest group or stakeholder group, right?
Right.
Is everybody following me? So I guess there's two tasks. And then I guess underneath of those, you know, when you're talking about your existing constituency, what are those recommendations? What are the tools that we want to recommend? What are the methods that already exist? And do we want to evaluate those? Do we want to recommend others? And then I think the same thing for the second category, the folks that we want to bring into the fold and to provide tools and suggestions for bringing people into the existing constituencies. So, I mean, Michael, which section or which areas were you thinking about focusing on?
Well, so I see that there's a big idea in there. Well, first of all, I think to get momentum on these things and not just have it be turned into a mental exercise that nobody ever actually does
right.
executes on, right? You've
right.
got to grasp onto two or three strong, well-formed suggestions that basically are described well enough so that this committee, so let's start with the committee, right? The idea of the committee, I think, is excellent. I think what we should do is somebody should take that and look at other similar outreach committees and develop the structure and the work and suggested working methodologies for that committee in fairly good detail so that people
mm-hmm.
don't waste months and months on deciding how the committee is going to work. But you
okay.
put out a strong plan for how, so the committee can become effective very quickly.
Okay.
And so I think that would be one big task that someone could pick up, and that's not the one I'm going to volunteer for, but it's one.
Okay. Okay.
The other thing is picking up a couple of objectives that the execution objectives that the committee can work on executing right away. So, and then, of course, in the future, they can come up with their own new ideas and new initiatives. This gives them something to run with right out of the gate. And
uh-huh.
One idea I had was, because I've been talking, I have strong relationships in ISOC, and so does ICANN in general, but I've been an ISOC member for over a decade, and I was talking with a couple of people there, and I have a few follow-up conversations to do, but I was looking to them because they and the ITF has done very technical versions of this, but in the late 90s, they were doing developing countries workshops. And I was thinking, wow, now what if what we did was focused on an ICANN organized and sponsored developing countries workshop that was partnered with someone like ISOC and, you know, something like a three-day event, one day, all instructional, all for people coming in at the ground level. And so, you know, one day could be really, you know, what ISOC typically does is go out and talk to countries about connecting with the Internet and expanding their Internet infrastructure and security concerns and cyber threats and so forth. A day could be on Internet policy and governance and in a very non-judgmental way, but more an informational way. So you spend a day and that could be, you know, various ICANN volunteers, and by ICANN volunteers, I mean people from stakeholders, groups, constituencies, coming in, talking about the various issues that are being discussed, talking about the history of the issues, not passing judgment, but just informing. And then another day could be really dummy's guide to getting involved in ICANN. You know, maybe that's a half day or a three-quarter day. I'm not exactly sure how long that one needs, but it becomes a three-day, you know, by the end of it, I should have a very good grasp on, you know, really what the Internet is, what it means to my developing country, what the opportunities are, and how I get involved in ICANN and participate with it. And so I'd like to volunteer to build a structure and a plan or suggestion on that a committee could roll forward fairly quickly with on an event like that. Also warm up the just partners like ISOC to the possibility. And you know what, if the event does go ahead, if the group agrees to make the recommendation and it actually gets adopted, I would personally be willing to put my own time into helping organize an event like this. I think it's a really important thing to do. So that's one of the things I'd like to volunteer to do.
And that sounds great, Michael.
And then the other idea, you know, goes back to really focusing on building a dummy's guide to ICANN. You know, for those people that don't have the money, the means, the ability to make it to a conference like I'm talking about or a workshop that I'm talking about, at least there'd be a very, very good, you know, online publication. And frankly, I think we should print it as well for those people that, you know, do not have easy access to the Internet but want to learn about it and learn how to get involved. And make that available. And, you know, if you will, maybe that's almost like a printed or a published version of the workshop.
That's what I was going to say. So that would be like a wonderful the document or like, you know, the conference materials that you would even get at the workshop, right? So
yeah.
That if you weren't there, that you would still have the same takeaways from that curriculum.
Right. And I think those two items I could, you know, I'm happy to go out for the document. I'm happy to go out and look for best practices, good examples of other, I mean, this is not new stuff. Other people have done things like this. And, you know, I could find example documents that we should emulate and so forth and do some research and pull together some really coherent, more than just a lightweight recommendation. But, you know, I imagine a lot of this stuff would go into an appendancy for our task two document. But, you know, I just want to give that committee something, some real meat that they could take away and execute, start executing with immediately, right?
Yep. Well, thank you so much for that feedback. I mean, I think, you know, when I was thinking about this concept, the whole idea of creating another committee was making me cringe, but I was thinking, you know, to really do this well, it really requires, I thought, some coordination. And, you know, thank you for support of that idea. I'm more than happy to take that and tackle that and try to flush that out with other stakeholders within ICANN to figure out how something like that would even happen. So if you could take the lead on the heavy lifting on, you know, some of these specific deliverables, because I think the most important thing, in which you mentioned, is crucial, to give them some concrete things that they could run with so that as the committee starts to evolve and they start to figure out, does this even make sense, we've already given them a roadmap with what to start with. So they're not just shaking their heads and scratching their skulls, figuring out what to do next.
Yeah, because the committee could sit there for 8 months before everyone gets enough of consent.
That's right.
Consent, right?
That's right. That's right. Oh, well, awesome. We created this committee, now what? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's great. Anybody, I can't recall who else is still on the line. Rafiq, are you still there?
I have a question to Michael, because I didn't get his point about the workshop. Did he mean that to organize workshop along with I don't know, like INET or other ISOC conference, or to organize workshop?
It could be in conjunction. Yeah, Rafiq, it could be in conjunction. We could look at tagging it along and making it part of an existing conference that already has good attendance, or it could be tagged to something that ICANN does. But I think the point I was trying to make is we should have a partner like ISOC to come in and do a day's worth of the workshop on kind of more technical and more things like more technical aspects
of the Internet
as well.
Sorry, Mike, but that's why I am a little bit worried, because as I know, ISO conferences target the real technical community, so I don't understand how to outreach beyond this community, because many of this community are already somehow involved in ICANN.
Right. And let me tell you, I have some ideas on that. So along with developing the workshop, I'm also working on where we can find different outreach venues that are not commonly used. to entreat new people into ICANN ultimately, and not just, you know, existing old faces that have already been involved with ISOC or already involved with ICANN in the past, because we want to get some new faces in there as well. So I am very carefully looking for sources. One of the things that specifically asked for in our recommendation is to reach out to NGOs. So I found that the United Nations maintains a database of registered NGOs, and I put a call into the department that manages that. So I'll be talking with them. And, for example, if we can take some of and they divide their database up into different categories, and one of them is NGOs that are focused on technical cooperation, which, you know, in some cases, technical cooperation in industries that have nothing to do with technology. But while I was looking through the list, I saw a ton of organizations that would be appropriate. So I'm going to make some suggestions on creating an outreach list, you know, through education associations, through NGOs, and through the other thing that's common even in developing countries and you know, first and second world countries as well, that they all have in common is most governments have some type of business development corporation that's sponsored by the government to help young and new businesses spin up. So we could also reach out to them because they have huge databases as well of potential participants. So we get the NGOs, we get the entrepreneurs, we get the educators, and reach out to them in avenues we haven't before.
I'm not sure about government, and usually I don't advise to contact government. For some reason, in some countries, to contact government to know about NGOs or association, but I'm not advising to pay by them, but I am kind of cautious to have contact in with some government.
Well, I hear you, and I understand those concerns, but you know, even if we go in through education facilities and we go in through NGOs and so forth, we all know this will float back to various government circles, and you know, I think it's unrealistic. You know, even through the GAC, right? They're going to see this workshop being spun up and these activities. So the awareness will be there. It's almost I think we're just asking for participants. We're asking for people to come and attend the workshop. That's very different than, you know, whether or not we're asking a government representative to come join a stakeholders group that they shouldn't be joining, right? Those are kind of two different issues. I see it.
Can I say something, Tony Harris? Yeah.
Absolutely, Tony.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I joined late. I had some trouble getting into the office. I would like to help you with this, Michael, in any way you see fit. My day job actually is building organizations, and from my participation in Global Knowledge Partnership, which is an international alliance of 140 NGOs and organisms, we have a lot of NGOs in there, particularly from the educational sector, and also we from this huge event that GKP had at the end of 2007. There's a lot of information on NGOs who participated, several hundred of them, as a matter of fact. And I think your idea on technical cooperation as a buzz phrase is good. I would throw in another one, which would be knowledge management, which was is something which they consider important in educational NGOs. And again, the question of internet governance is still listed as one of the objectives for development by the United Nations in the different funding and donor organizations. So I think you're quite right. There is a lot of potential in approaching NGOs on something like this. The other thing I would suggest would be chambers of commerce, because the business and sector is, I think, pretty underrepresented in ICANN, although some people may disagree with that. But you have some very large companies, but not not many organizations that represent small and medium enterprise, particularly
right.
in developing countries.
Yeah. Tony, what point did you join the call?
About 10 minutes ago when you started talking about you'd like to pilot this.
Good, okay. So one of the things, Chamber of Commerce is a great idea. When I did a research project on Internet growth in South Africa a few years ago, I met with their Chamber of Commerce, and that was very, very informative, and it led me to talking to a bunch of startup companies. A lot of governments I'm aware of have what I'll use a common term is business development corporations, which are kind of arm-length, almost like incubator organizations where they have some government-issued funds that they can in turn, you know, do startup loans to businesses and provide them with consultation and guidance in getting things going. So I'm hoping that, you know, between those two vectors we'll target, you know, a area of small company that really hasn't shown any, very little interest so far, right, in ICANN.
That sounds like a great idea. Actually, I was listening to what Rafiq said about governments, and I share his concerns. In some countries of the world, definitely, there is a lot of antagonism towards ICANN. Many countries have this culture of we belong to the ITU, and that's it. You know, we don't want to talk to anybody else. Rafiq has a good point. It's not always perhaps the easiest way to get to some of these NGOs that we're looking for.
Sure. Yeah. So, okay, it sounds like we're all agreeing here.
Yeah. So, count on me I didn't see the initial thread of how you came to propose this this workshop and everything. I guess you're thinking of doing one in Brussels during the ICANN meeting, is that correct?
No. This is bigger than I could get going in that time frame. Tony, the idea was so Debbie's document suggests or calls for a committee, right, on outreach. And I was suggesting that I want to build a couple of concrete executable ideas with lots of information around them to get the ball rolling quickly. Outreach type of activities, yeah. So
yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of where...
Will this committee be within this group which is on the call now, or will it be something which will be created outside of what we have been doing these last few months?
Yeah, the idea is this: the committee would be a long-lived ICANN entity with the ongoing purpose of maintaining outreach activities.
It would be a new committee then?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to be part of that if it happens.
Well, I would love to, too. I think I am very enthusiastic about it. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Tony, I'll contact you offline because certainly I'm reaching out all over the place to build, you know, contact pathways. And your background in NGOs is wonderfully useful for this. So that's fantastic.
And, Tony,
okay.
The committee idea is like a huge idea that we're still trying to wrap our hands around. What would that mean, creating a committee that's devoted to outreach and the outreach mission of ICANN? And so what I volunteered to do was to figure out what that means within the ICANN structure so that we're not adding too much red tape, but that we're keeping ICANN honest with its plan that global outreach is important. And that trying to loop in all of the different ICANN stakeholders, you know, whether it be people who are doing outreach in the CCNSO or people who are doing, you know, outreach wherever, so that we're all singing, hopefully, with the same type of music. I mean, of course, the board has a public participation committee. There's folks on the board. You know, there's a public participation committee. How do all these organizations within ICANN work together, perhaps, towards global outreach? So that was the big idea. Now it's time to pare it down to what's realistic and what we can actually execute.
Debbie, can I comment something?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I was on mute and I couldn't get off mute. Michael, I would like to offer my help for Latin America. I am deeply involved in several education projects about internet governance, and also I am a university teacher. I think one of the key issues of outreach could be universities. I teach in technical universities where people are teaching about networking and about internet, and they have no idea that I can exist and that there are constituencies that they can make their voices heard, or that they can participate in public development or something like that. So I think that education is one of the key elements, and I am the regional director for the South School of Internet Governance, by the way. Afilias has been one of our sponsors helping us doing that project, which has been very interesting and very pioneer, and brought young people of different stakeholder groups to be aware of what is the Internet and policies of the Internet, and about ICANN and about the IGF. So about Latin America, I can offer you my experience. And something I would like to comment is that all the outreach that ICANN is doing in Latin America for now, it's only, and I'm not saying this is wrong, I'm saying this is limited, it's only about CCTLDs, which is okay, but there are many other things that involve ICANN activities. And I think that maybe it's because the region is not so much developed, or maybe the Internet market is not so much developed in Latin America. So if I can help you with regional vision and my experience, please let me know.
Oh, you absolutely can. And, you know, this leads to the idea of, you know, a workshop like this creating very robust materials that people can download or have in printed publication if they want to. And, you know, I could see these being teaching materials for professors to use to in turn pass on to their students. So if we had a good attendance from various professors from different teaching organizations to a workshop like this, and they in turn took those materials back and introduced them into their curriculum, just think about how fast that would populate. That'd be great.
Sorry, Olga?
Yes.
Maybe I want to say something that maybe if we can get from the staff working for the global partnership, I think that they have some knowledge and experience in outreach, like, for example, Middle East and Africa.
I didn't hear the name of the. I have a lot of noise in the line. I didn't hear the name of the institution that you named.
It's in ICANN. It's the Global Partnership Program.
Olga, this is Julie. He said Global Partnership in ICANN.
Okay, maybe. I have a lot of noise. That's okay. Maybe we should all send this information to Debbie. And or maybe Michael about the workshop. In my case, the information about Latin America, and they can concentrate this input.
Okay. Well, it's almost 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So why don't we do this over the next week? If you're interested in helping Michael with the workshop and the materials, or any suggestions about outreach and suggestions for, you know, different organizations for him to, you know, include in that process, go ahead and email Michael. Is that okay, Michael?
Sounds great.
And then I'll start working on this committee concept. And if anybody has any suggestions at all on what this committee should look like, how broad it should or shouldn't be, other people that I should be looping in, you know, how often they should meet. I mean, any ideas about if there was going to be a outreach committee at ICANN, what it should look like. If you could shoot those ideas to me, then maybe the next time we meet, we can see where we are with those. How does that sound?
Thanks. That's great, Debbie. How do you see the meeting biweekly, every week? How do you see the calls so we can tell Gisela and Julie to organize our calls?
Right. So I think I would like to meet at least one more time before Brussels. Is that fine with everybody?
That's okay for me.
Okay. So is it? Do you think it's better for us just to take next week off and then meet again on the 11th? What is everybody thinking?
This is Julie. I would, but I, for a selfish reason, I will be working at a remote location next week, actually an island in the Caribbean. I'll be taking vacation for part of the time, but I'll be working also. But I'm not entirely sure how good my broadband access will be. So I don't know, can't say for sure now whether or not I'd be able to dial into the call next Friday.
So what, is everybody okay with, instead of having a meeting, everybody promises to work, and then we'll reconvene on June the 11th. How's that?
I have a comment. How many
yes, ma'am.
Are we in the sub-working team?
That's a good question.
Because maybe we can share, if we are not too many, and it could be good if so we don't overlap what we are thinking or doing or using the other information to improve our thoughts. Maybe we can all share in our short email list. Or, for example, if I copy Michael, I copy you, and I copy Rodrigue.
Yeah.
I don't think that we are too many, and I think that will help the flow of information. And
okay.
We meet in Brussels. Remember, we have a face-to-face meeting already in our agenda.
Also, this is Julie. That's fine, but keep in mind that if you do respond or at least copy the include as a copy this work team list, then the emails will be archived. If you simply email
no, not the whole working team, the ones in the sub working team.
I understand what you're saying, but we don't have that's not an official, that would just be emailing back and forth. So that means that none of your
okay. Is that a big problem?
I don't know that that's a problem, but generally, for transparency's sake, work is supposed to be captured. In which case, it would be better probably to use the main
guys,
list.
Sorry to interrupt, but I do have to drop off. So
yeah,
but
and
if you want to engage, they can. But you know that at least they can see what's happening, even if they're not you know, engaged in particular.
Okay.
So why don't we just continue? Okay, well, we'll continue to use the work team email list.
Okay.
Maybe in the subject line so that people know we can say that it's related to task two. So fine.
Julie,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then Julie, could you let the group know that we decided we're going to take next Friday off, but we're going to continue to email, and that we'll reconvene on the 11th.
Right. I'll write up notes from today's meeting and the action items and related to this task and as action items we'll be conveying information to Michael and to you, and I'll make that, you know, on the specific topics we discussed, and that the next call will be on 11.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining, and have a nice weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.